Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Although it feels like Friday.
It does.
We got the day off tomorrow.
It's Friday number one.
Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day, Eve.
I went to the gym yesterday, Shauna, for the first time since it opened. It was super weird.
Yeah?
Yeah. It felt like we weren't supposed to be there. Like we were doing something wrong by being there. That was the vibe.
Interesting.
But it also felt good to lift some weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be... I'm interested to see how eager I am. My gym's opening up, I think, next week. And I'm not really in a big rush to go back at the moment. Just because I kind of have my own gym set up at home right now. And it's working pretty well. And it's kind of nice to like... go at home and be able to just wear a bra or be naked if I feel like it and kind of go work out.
You go on your exercise bike naked?
Well, I have wear shorts.
It's an interesting choice.
Yeah. You don't want to put the sin cave right on the seat. That would hurt a lot. But, you know, you don't have to wear a shirt when you go on the bike. It's great.
You have to book like hour slots at our gym.
Right.
And there are these girls who are walking around with like sanitizer or disinfectant bottles. And then at the end of the hour, they come by with signs that say 15 minutes left and then 5 minutes left. And they don't say a word. They just walk around with these signs.
Like the girls from the boxing ring.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
It's very weird. And they're wearing masks and they're just quietly walking around with these signs. It's like, It's already quiet in the gym. Very spooky.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My friend lives in Black Falls and they were organizing a Black Lives Matter protest for Black Falls, apparently.
Black Falls is just north of Red Deer, correct?
Yes. Yeah, a tiny little town just outside of Red Deer there. And she was really excited about it, but she was a bit curious what the turnout would be like because, of course, Black Falls is so small. And then she sent me an update from the Facebook page and it says, "We're blessed to have Karen share her story with us. Karen grew up in Red Deer and her dad's best friends were Native and Black." And then it's a picture of a white woman named Karen. So, Black Falls Black Lives Matter protest featured a white woman whose dad had a black friend once.
Holy crap. I should laugh. Trying their best.
They absolutely are. Yeah. And it's really cool that they were doing a Black Lives Matter protest there. It really was.
But there are... Okay, so first of all, there are clearly no black people in Black Falls.
I guess not.
Not only are there no black people in Black Falls, there is no one who knows any black people in Black Falls. The closest we have is a woman whose dad once had a friend who was black.
You can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
And of course, her name is Karen. I just saw this and I'm like, oh my. You know, like, you didn't necessarily have to have a speaker, I guess. I mean, or maybe you could just, like.
You could get a projection screen and you could all watch a video from a real live black person.
I don't know.
They're trying.
They are.
I don't want to laugh. They're trying their best.
I respect the crap out of it. It's very cool that they organized that.
It's pretty funny, though. I mean, I think that just goes to show, though, like for many people who grew up in certain parts of the country, rurally, you're just not really exposed to
diversity.
That many different people. Yeah, nope. Different cultures and stuff. It's fairly homogenous in some places. So, I mean, that can explain a lot in some cases.
And that's probably why, education is very important in these places, because if you don't have that exposure, then you should probably learn some
things. Well, hang on just 1 minute there. I know a guy who knows a guy who once had a friend who was black. So,
well, we're safe then. That's good.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I think we're probably at the point where we could do a definitive ranking of types of hand sanitizer.
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to a friend over the weekend about this, actually.
Okay, I wonder if we're thinking the same way here. Mm-hmm. Like, when I go to a place and they have gel sanitizer, that's a real treat now.
That's lovely.
Like, ooh, yes. It just stays in the hands. Yeah. It's gel.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't drip anywhere.
Nope.
Doesn't smell funny.
Mm-mm.
The foaming stuff, it applies nicely, yep. But to me, it doesn't feel like it's working because it doesn't burn.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It needs to, if you have any like cuts or on your hand, it has to burn, or it mm-hmm. doesn't feel like it's actually cleaning anything.
The foamy just feels like air. That's it's like a false sense of security.
Oh, good. My hands are clean.
Yes. Jack Frost is blowing on my hands. That's about it.
No pain, no gain.
No.
Mm-hmm. And not that I don't appreciate these distilleries who have pivoted to meet the hand sanitizer demand, mm-hmm. but that stuff is runny and it usually stinks. It stinks like really cheap alcohol.
Some of them do. Some of them smell delicious, but I agree with the runniness. They're all very runny, but I did have a couple. There's a couple distilleries that have it and it smells like it's a fragrant.
Are they adding some sort of
yeah.
perfume? Because we have a few different bottles from distilleries here in the studio and some of them are ugh.
Yeah, Skunk Works had one that has a really good fragrant
okay.
smell that I enjoyed. So
even just like I don't mind the standard hand sanitizer smell, but some of these smell like cheap tequila yeah. or something.
It reminds you of a bad night out. Woo!
Yesterday at the gym, this guy walked past me and he smelled so bad I almost threw up.
Oh God.
It was easily one of the worst things I've ever smelled. And I went back to McKenna and I said, I think that man is dying of the flesh-eating bacteria or something. And then I used the hand sanitizer from the dispenser in the gym. And it wasn't this poor dude who stunk. It was this sanitizer. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, I have a sensitive nose, but even McKenna, when she smelled it, she gagged. So I ran to the bathroom and I tried to wash it off twice with real soap and water. And I just could not get the smell of this hand sanitizer off my hand. So I don't know what they made it with, dead bodies?
I know one that has had a similar scent, and it is one. There's one that exists, and I don't know what it is yet. I haven't been able to put my finger on what type it is or what company, but it's awful, and it smells to me like dead fish, feet, and bald heads. It's a mixture of the three.
You had me with the first two? What do bald heads smell
just
like?
Just like a little bit sweaty or something, like a little...
I want... Dead just, fish.
There's a
feet,
vision of like
bald heads.
Sunny bald heads. It's I can't explain it to you, but if you smelled it, you'd probably be able to understand. Next time I get it, I'll fetch it for you, and you can smell the.
We need to identify the distillery that's making that particular sanitizer,
oh,
and
my.
Just kindly ask them to stop, or maybe take a look at their ingredients, because yeah, it was it. Like I said, easily one of the worst things I've ever
yeah.
smelled. I would take my chances with the virus before I'd willingly smell that again.
Yeah. And like walking around smelling like that, like you're creating nightmares for everybody.
So needless to say, that stuff is at the bottom of our hand sanitizer
so.
Rankings.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Etymology with Shauna.
So I've been looking up the origin of different musical terms that I didn't know about, and they've been quite fascinating. So this is the etymology of jazz.
Of yazz.
Of yazz.
Okay.
So I guess it's a bit hard to confirm, but most people believe it comes from the word jazzum.
Oh, that's a gross word. Wow.
Which is a really old term, I guess, from 1860, and it means spirit, energy, and vigor. So jazzum used to
the
be a term.
The boy's got jazzum, he does.
He's got some jazzum. Now things get a little weirder, as jazzum is a variant of the slang term jism.
Okay.
Which dates back to 1842. It's even older.
Come on.
And this one, again, means spirit or energy or spunk.
Okay. You got to stop saying these words on the radio.
This is the history
you can't
of
say
these
words.
Words.
Like
these
jism
are all.
And spunk on the radio.
I know. This is the thing. This is what I'm learning about jazz. Okay. So there's also a connection between spasm and jazzum, I guess.
You got to stop.
So spasm, okay, is also, of course, when you think about what spasm means, it means a sudden burst of energy. So spasm and jazzum and jism all kind of means.
I'm so uncomfortable. I'm sweating. Take off my hoodie here.
This is the origin of these
Holy
terms.
Hell.
Things make a lot more sense, okay? This is why you think those words are gross now. This is the origin of all of them, though. It all transformed from jazz, okay?
From jazz music.
So there was a band in 1895 also called the Razzy Dazzy Spasm Band.
Watch your mouth.
some feel
clean your mouth out with soap.
This is also one of the early adaptations of that word. Spasm turned into jazzm. Now we shortened it to jazz, which is probably for the best.
No wonder they called it the devil's music, hey? That makes perfect sense now.
Everything makes so much more sense now.
Etymology with Shauna.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My brother told me he was reading about what they believe to be the oldest road in the world. It's called the Appian Way, and it leads from Rome to the city of Brindisi. It was built between the 4th and 3rd century BC, and it's likely that every Roman emperor after that time has traveled along it at some point.
That's crazy.
It would be kind of cool to walk along that road, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
think,
it would.
Like, who walked here before me?
The history.
On this very road.
Lick it.
Lick the road? Get that history right in your, right on your tongue? Mm.
I can taste it.
That's rich.
I can taste the manure of all the horses and animals.
It's pretty cool to think about, though, isn't it?
It is crazy.
But my brother was wondering, he was wondering if any of the things that we've built today will still be standing 2,000 years from now. Can you think of anything that might last that long, Shauna?
Oh, man. I mean, everything's just built not to last these days. I don't know. Can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I did a bit of reading about this, and the answer is it's kind of amazing. So, I mean, first of all, the fact that we have launched things into space ensures that we're going to have some remnant that we were here long after we're gone. Like, the golden records that they put on the Voyager space probes with all the information about Earth, they're expected to last for about 1 billion years.
Crazy.
And after that, if they were recovered, then the data on them wouldn't be readable. But then, like, the Pioneer and Voyager spacecrafts, they're estimated to collide with a star sometime within the next 100 quintillion years.
Wow.
So those could very well be the last, like, the last signs that humanity lived here.
Okay, but is there anything on Earth?
Anything on Earth? Okay. Within 1 million years, public monuments that are made out of granite will have eroded by 1 meter.
Okay.
So, I mean, 1 million years from now, some of these monuments will still be recognizable.
Well, that's cool.
The footprints on the moon, I guess, are going to be around for about 1 million years. The Great Pyramid of Giza will erode within 1 million years if we don't maintain it.
Hmm.
And within 7.2 million years, Mount Rushmore will erode into unrecognizability. And this is kind of cool. They think that 100 million years from now, if we're, let's say, long gone, and some other species were to come here and look around and look for signs of us, they'll be able to see some of the big cities on the coasts in layers, almost like you do when you drive through the Badlands, and you can see like the geology of the area over the years. They'll be able to do that with like the foundations of buildings and the tunnels that we've built in those areas.
That's cool.
So there will be signs that we were here long, long after we're gone. But I mean, whether or not some of these skyscrapers will still be standing, I guess glass decomposes in about 1 million years.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Be kind of cool, though, wouldn't it, to think that like some of these buildings, if maintained, could still be standing.
That is nuts.
Many, many years from now.
Yeah.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Peckler, I've got another TV trope that I've noticed happens far too often.
Okay.
I've been watching the series The Blacklist, and that's where these have all kind of spawned from, because I've noticed there's a lot of things that happen. You're like, okay, there's another cliche TV trope. Here we go.
Have you looked at the TV tropes page for this show?
I have not.
You should, and see how many that they have identified that you've also identified.
Oh my God.
But just be warned that when you do click on that website, it's going to be the rest of your day.
Okay.
So
maybe I'll avoid that. Maybe I'll just wait till I observe them.
It's
myself.
A rainy day. Go ahead.
True. Okay. So this one is when two people meet up on a park bench to discuss secretive information.
Mm-hmm.
This happens all the time. They then sit here. This is the most important, though, is they sit on park benches that are facing the opposite directions.
Right.
So they're the two benches that are back to back, and they're both having their backs to each other, and they talk over the bench so that anybody who's walking by doesn't notice that they're together or discussing anything, right?
There's also the variation where they sit on the same bench, but they look in different directions while they talk.
Yep.
Do you not think that's more suspicious than just having a conversation with someone on a park bench, like sitting there talking to seemingly no one?
This is what exactly. I know. When the ones where they're back to back look so obvious and so ridiculous. You're like, and everybody, because you have to talk louder because your voice is projecting the opposite direction. So everybody is hearing what you're saying. And if not, you look really suspicious because you are. You're talking to yourself.
If I saw that in a park, I'd be like, oh, you're exchanging secrets, are you?
Yep. Like, I'd be like, hey, are you the FBI or a criminal? One of the two.
That's a really good one.
It's ridiculous.
You'd look less suspicious if you were making out with the person.
Yes.
Oh, well, my God, it's two lovers on a park bench.
That's exactly it. Or even when you're sitting side by side on the bench. Yes, when you both look away from each other and it's like, what, are you guys both on your Bluetooth or?
This has to have a name.
I'm sure it
does. TV Tropes always names it.
Park bench.
Park bench.
Meetup or something.
Agents. Let's see if this comes up.
Okay, please do.
Overt rendezvous is what they call it.
There you go.
The overt rendezvous.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't understand. Like, why would you just go somewhere remote? None of this would look as suspicious as doing what you're doing here on this park bench.
We'll meet in a busy park and we'll talk to no one.
Yes. And then somebody sits down beside you and you're screwed. What are you going to do then?
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
What are you listening to lately, Shauna? And I hope it's Canadian, being Canada Day tomorrow.
It is. The Royal Foundry, actually. I've been listening to their new album recently. Or their last album, I suppose. This is really weird, though. There's one song that I wanted to show you called 10 by the Royal Foundry, and I can't find it anywhere online. So
it's that new? It's that hot?
Well, yeah, it's bizarre. Maybe I just didn't look hard enough. I don't know. I couldn't find it at the time. So I have another song off this album that I'm a big fan of right now, and this is called Don't Hurt the People That You Love.
Everything's gonna be alright, gonna be alright. Yeah!
Royal Foundry is great.
Oh, they're awesome.
I first heard of them at X-Fest the year they played. I had never heard their stuff before that, and I saw their live show. I was like, these guys are awesome. I think husband and wife.
Yes.
Jared and Bethany.
Yeah.
And they're very nice people, too.
Super nice.
From Edmonton?
From Sherwood Park.
Sherwood Park.
But yeah, they. It's funny because we've played a couple of their singles, and I always really like their singles. And
me
then
too.
I was like, why haven't I listened to their full albums? You know, like some. I find I do that sometimes. So I'm like, oh, I really like this. And all of a sudden, they're like, why don't you get the whole album?
You almost have a responsibility as a music fan to like take that next step.
And yeah.
Find, you know, here's my taste of it. I enjoy it. I should probably go find more of it.
That's just it. And so I did recently, and that whole album is wicked. Wake Up, Wake Up is so
cool. When summer rolls around, I was raised on all the classic CanCon. I know your boyfriend loves it all too.
Oh yeah.
But like my dad was a big fan of Trooper and Prism and Streetheart and all those bands.
Yep.
My favorite classic Canadian band is April Wine. So I've been listening to a lot of April Wine and Kim Mitchell because, yeah, when summer rolls around in Canada, that's the soundtrack to it for me. Kim Mitchell, this is my favorite April Wine too. Last weekend, we popped in to visit McKenna's grandma and her husband, and the kids were there, and they were kind of playing on the floor, and I was sitting on a chair, and I have this, like, I'd fallen while playing football and scraped up my knee, so I had like, a scab on my knee.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there talking to McKenna's grandma, and Brigham, my son who's 3, is over, like, picking at my scab, and I'm just like, get out of here, Brigham. Like, leave me alone. So I keep talking, and then I look over, and he's ripped the scab off. And thrown it on the floor.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay, did anyone else see him throw the scab on the floor? Or so then he crawled away and they looked at someone else to talk and I like grabbed the scab.
Oh my God.
To throw in the garbage, you know, later.
We need to make a rule on stories like this and how they maybe shouldn't be this early in the morning because people are still eating breakfast.
Our show is early.
I know.
When else am I going to tell this story?
I don't know. That's gross.
It's so gross.
Oh.
And then Bo came over and he's like, where's your owie?
where did your owie go? And I'm like, shh, Bo.
Brigham just ripped it off, threw it on the floor, and now it's in my pocket. Do you want?
Shh, where did your owie go? Where did that big owie go?
Here it is. Shh, shh. You should have just busted out of your pocket in front of the grandparents. They would have been like, what is going on?
You absolute freak. You're not allowed back at our house. It's all the adventures.
I'm
when
keeping
you're
it for later, Bo. Oh.
Just being a parent. Just dad things.
Oh, my God.
Things you never thought you'd have to do.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Did you ever have a friend whose parents were the cool parents, but were maybe a little bit too cool?
That like let us do stuff that they probably shouldn't have?
Yeah.
Not really. I think most of my friends' parents were fairly responsible.
Okay.
So,
well, this is kind of an in-betweener, a tweener parent. I was thinking about my friend's mom who used to give us cigarettes when we were super underage.
And it, like it how would, old?
Yeah, 13 or 14,
whoa,
probably.
Yeah, that's pretty young.
Yeah, yeah. And this was Boobs' mom, actually. Boobs, we've talked about Boobs
Mrs.
before.
Boobs. What are you doing out there?
I know.
Giving 13-year-olds darts?
This is it. And Boobs smoked when she was super young. So she'd give me a dart, and then because she, of course, wanted a smoking buddy. So we'd be darting, and then Boobs' mom would sit there and huff darts with us. So we'd all be sitting around the TV, like, watching Friends and smoking darts, and we were 14.
She wasn't a regular mom. She was a cool mom.
She was a cool mom.
What did your parents think of that? Because your parents are straight shooters.
My
they probably
parents
didn't
did not know about
yeah,
that.
I was going to say they wouldn't like that, would
no,
they?
No, of course not. We'd also go get cigarettes for her because she knew that Boobs would somehow find cigarettes underage. So she'd then go tell Boobs to go get cigarettes for her. And I'd be the one who would have to go because I always looked a bit older. And we'd always go to the really sketchy convenience stores because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were more concerned about getting robbed than they were serving underagers, right? Like, they didn't really care. They're just like, I don't care.
We had a couple places like that, too, for cigarettes and for booze. No questions asked is how we referred to it. I will go there. No questions asked.
That's
if you
amazing.
Had money, mm-hmm. they'll serve you.
That's what's most important to them. Again, they're just like, yeah, give me your money. I don't care.
That's money, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's real money.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll check your money, and if it is, in fact, real, you will get whatever you want in this store. I don't care what your age is, okay?
How's Boobs doing?
Boobs doing great.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
No, I was just having these memories of Boobs and I as young kids. And
Mrs. Boobs, Mrs. what are you doing?
I know.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
This is some frigged up history that I got reading about the other day, Shauna, and I don't even know how, but I wanted to tell you about it.
Okay.
It's about the dude who invented cornflakes.
Oh, I know about him.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard this story?
Yep. Super weird. Well, also, don't know how I came to that information.
But. Jump in if I miss anything or if I get any of the details wrong here. But his name was John Harvey Kellogg from the Kellogg's Food Company.
Cornflakes.
It was his brother, Will Keith Kellogg, who founded the company. And John was an incredibly weird and complex dude. He did some good stuff. Like early on, he was a proponent of the germ theory of disease, and he promoted eating healthy and living healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also a terrible racist and promoter of eugenics. And the part that specifically got me reading about him, he was a fervent believer in sexual abstinence.
This is the part that I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what stood out to me, too. Like the time he spent thinking about ways to stop people from touching themselves is troubling.
There are some weird, like, drawings and illustrations of him and the things that he would...
Well, he had all these different methods that he came up with.
Yeah.
And, he was a devout Seventh-day Adventist, so I think he probably... He was part of the temperance movement, so I think that's probably where he drew these beliefs from. But, like, everything from bandaging the hands to electric shock to, like, cages that you'd put over your junk, foods that would lower your desire, even, like, burning sin caves with acid.
Oh,
to,
my God.
And he actually used some of these methods on himself and other people, which was really messed up. He was also a follower of the teachings of Sylvester Graham, who was another member of the temperance movement. Have you heard of Sylvester Graham?
No.
Okay. He invented the Graham cracker.
Awesome.
Specifically because he thought a bland diet would prevent arousal.
Okay. Graham crackers are delicious. All right. Were they less delicious
bland,
back
though.
Then? I guess so, but they make the perfect s'more anyway.
S'mores would have been too exciting for this man.
Oh my God.
I think
God.
The chocolate and marshmallow, and especially the melting.
Yeah, it's too much.
Would have maybe put you at risk of arousal. It would have got you a little hot and bothered.
It's true.
A s'more. Good thing I have these graham crackers in there to level me out.
You should have come up with a saltine. That's the real bland one. Just munch on saltines.
I wonder if they were already a thing when he invented the graham cracker.
Oh, wow.
Saltines are even more bland, though, aren't they?
They are. Yeah.
Well, unless that's salt. I mean, that'll get you going.
It's true.
You know how salt gets you revved up.
Yeah.
So.
Puckers your bum a bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit of arousal, you're right.
You eat a bag of Mrs. Vicky's and then you just got to go somebody. Yeah. That's how it works, right?
It's true, yeah. Whoa!
These guys, I tell you.
Crazy. Wow. When you start reading about people, oh my lordy.
What they believed back then.
Yeah, and it's weird stuff.
I don't know, maybe it wasn't that weird at the time, but it sure is weird now.
That is.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Do you find you overly exaggerate your movements these days?
In what way?
Well, I find when I'm trying to walk around people, first of all, I will be sure to hold up my hands as if to show them that I'm cautiously traveling around them. And I don't know why. I just automatically, I'm just like, don't worry. I'm aware that you're there and I will make sure to take the precautions that I should to move around you in a cautious manner. I also make sure to communicate my actions to people a lot more now. Like I ordered online at the coffee shop the other day and I had to walk past this lineup of people to get to my order. And I, with every person, was like, I'm going to get my mobile order. Is that okay? And then there was a man standing waiting at the direct counter where I wanted to go. And I turned to him and I said, do you mind if I grab my order now? Is that okay? It's really a good exercise in communication right now.
It really is. No surprises. Everyone's on the same page.
Well, everybody I find is just a little jumpy right now.
Yeah.
So you almost don't want to make sudden movements, right? Like,
do you ever give her the good old Canadian, I'm just going to scooch past you here?
Yes.
Mind if I just scooch past
but
you?
But you can't scooch.
Right?
Because
you
used scooching. To scooch.
Yeah,
now you can't scooch. You're doing like a distant scooch.
This
you
is
know?
The
you
post-scooch
can't.
Era.
Yes. Yes. A scooch will really offend somebody. Like if you actually scooch past them, like that almost is a rubbing that happens sometimes. You can't rub.
He
okay?
Scooched.
He scooched. You touched me with your scooch.
Don't be scooching.
That sounds wrong. But yeah, it's the way that things are now. Like you really kind of have to make everybody aware of what you're doing.
You declare your intentions and
you
your movements.
Do.
You know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you've ever seen these videos on YouTube, but there's this something like it's called like the sovereign citizens movement, where basically people believe that they're not part of the country there.
Oh yeah.
And like they'll film their interactions with police and be like, I am a sovereign citizen traveling across the land, and like,
yep.
Everyone's like, real good then.
That's
like,
what that's, this is, yeah. As if everyone's filming right now. Just, you have to make sure that your actions are known, okay?
I am moving my person from here to over there.
I shall not be scooching.
If anyone objects.
I will give you the appropriate amount of space.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.